From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. And so it was, after years and years of hope and belief and planning and funding, this is how it went.
So now it gives me great pleasure to announce Sacramento as the 29th MLS team.
And the applause went on and on. So mark it, October 21st, 2019, a moment of dramatic change for Sacramento. And like the opening of the Golden One Center on October 4th, 2016, this is an enormously significant story in Daryl Steinberg's era as mayor. The mayor is joining me, bouncing in his seat, I have to say, as he heard that announcement replayed from yesterday.
I'm still cheering.
We're not just going to talk soccer and sports, but that's where we'll begin. So, Mayor Steinberg, welcome.
Well, thank you, Beth. It was a historic day in Sacramento yesterday, maybe sort of a once-in-a-lifetime. And as I said yesterday, it was not easy. I mean, this was five or some accounts seven-year struggle. My involvement, of course, has been the last 3 years, where there were many moments where I doubted whether it would happen. But as I said yesterday, my doubt was always fleeting, because we got right back up and we kept going and we finally got there. And Sacramento was always and will always be a great soccer city. And it just took some time to get the right partners and to convince the league that we belonged in the major league category.
You happened to be here on this show during some of those times of doubt, and
yes,
not necessarily talking about it on mic, but off mic, saying, I don't really know. Last night, you talked about persistence and passion and hard work, all the themes you're talking about right now. But without that private money that came from Ron Burkle, Matt Alvarez, and then Kevin Nagel's role, too, in continuing to move this along, do you think MLS at this point might have said to Sacramento, nice, but just keep trying?
Well, I think it would have been worse than that, because this was our window. If we had missed this window, the league would have chosen one or two other cities, and the door would have been shut for a half decade or longer. So the outcome is even more dramatic, I think, than people know, because we were really coming to the end of the line. They say they want to get to 30 teams. Mm-hmm. We're the 29th. There's rumors about who the 30th team will be, and we would have been passed over. So there's so many inside stories, but I know for me, after December of 2017, when the commissioner told us that you have a great stadium plan, you have a great fan base, you have great local ownership led by Kevin Nagel, who was a hero in all of this, but you lack a big player, a big capital player, because the league's growing and they want to make sure that they've got partners who can grow with it. And so we spent 2018 largely trying to recruit a big capital investor. And by about mid-year of 2018, we knew it was Ron Burkle. But it took time. The Kellys, who also have been terrific on all this, own the rail yards. And so there was a lot of business transaction that had to occur between the Burkle team and the Kelly team. And then you had Kevin Nagel and the ownership and then the league. By the time we got to the end of 18, I was worried that this was not going fast enough. So I, little inside story here, I told everyone that I was giving my State of the Downtown speech announcing that we had a new partner and we were moving forward, whether it was ready and done or not, because I felt that if we didn't put some time and some urgency behind it, that we were going to get passed over. So from January of 2019 on, we've had a better and stronger path, but it still took a number of months and more negotiation till we got to the summer and then the end of summer, where there's still some doubt, and then we finally closed it.
How many private funders, big funders, did you talk to before Ron Burkle was the one? How many people did you pitch, if
there
that's
were,
the right word?
There were four or five, I think, major investors from throughout the country.
And why were they saying no?
They didn't necessarily say no. You know, what I've learned from this process is that, you know, in the regular person, and I'm a regular person's concept of how this could happen, you meet an investor, they're interested, they love soccer, and within 2 weeks, you close it. That's not the way it works. When they're interested, it takes then a lot of due diligence and a lot of back and forth. And it takes 6 months to a year. So they didn't really say no. We just, when Ron Burkle was interested, it was kind of game over. I knew Ron from my days in the legislature. He was involved in the initial part of the Kings deal. He's really he's obviously a great business person, but he also is very philanthropic. He's got a good heart, and he just took to Sacramento, and he was the right partner, along with Matt Alvarez.
Yesterday on this program, I talked to a sports economist, Dr. Patrick Risch, from St. Louis, by the way, very involved in St. Louis's effort to land a team. And he said the one concern is whether a big stadium simply moves money from one area of the city to another, or whether this new venue can bring new money in, bring people in from all over the country.
Well, one of the things I'm most proud of about my city council colleagues and myself in the city is that we engaged as full partners with the league and with the private ownership. But we cut a very reasonable agreement on behalf of the taxpayers. Think about this for a minute. The contribution that we are making is really mostly investing in infrastructure in the rail yards. And remember, Mr. Burkle, Mr. Alvarez are also buying the 14 acres or so to the east of 7th Street to create another entertainment district. We're not just talking about a soccer stadium. We're talking about a $400 million Civic Center courthouse. We're talking about a major Kaiser hospital and health facility. We're talking about housing. We're talking about making those central shops a market, you know, a public market or another destination. And so We've invested about $30 million of infrastructure, and we're going to get about $1 billion worth of return in terms of decades of that rail yard's potential finally being realized.
So you get his point, though. Is it new money, new sourcing coming in, or are we just moving around the old? I want you to roll that into a review again of the funding, because I think Sacramento, knowing how much public money was put into the Golden One Center, still wants to know what's the number on the stadium and that $32 or $33 million package that the city is involved in. Is that in the stadium? Is it totally separate? So will you just lay out the numbers
once more? First of all, this is predominantly, in fact, more than predominantly, a private investment and private deal. The franchise fee is $200 million. The cost of the stadium is upwards of about $250, $300 million. And so that's the private sector investment.
Both of those numbers.
Yes. We're helping with the infrastructure. And we're also allowing the team to keep some of the signage revenue from the signs that will go up. But we're not writing a check out of our city's general fund in any way. The Kings deal, which I completely supported, by the way, as well, was very different. That was a 50-50 public-private deal, and the city had to essentially securitize its future parking revenues to put up its half. I thought that was the right thing to do, given that we were saving a major asset and the revitalization piece of our downtown is just beautiful. This is much more of a private sector-oriented deal where we stepped up in a crucial way, but in a way I think that was very responsible to the taxpayers as well.
To what degree do you believe the stadium is going to generate an overall economic benefit for the region?
I think it's going to generate an enormous economic benefit because it's going to be a destination. And again, in the big picture, it is another piece of the rail yards, which, let's think about this for a moment. How many decades have we said, when are we going to finally see some action in the rail yards? How many decades have we said, when are we going to finally access the waterfront in Sacramento? On both scores now. the rail yards is becoming what we've always envisioned it to be. That and that is a great economic boost and a great civic boost and a great cultural boost for Sacramento. And then I always like to talk about the waterfront, even though it's not exactly connected. You know, we have $50 million because of the way we went about economizing the expansion of the convention center and community center theater. We're putting $50 million to revitalize the waterfront in Old Sacramento. And those plans are coming this fall. And so, as I said yesterday, the era of wouldn't it be great if in Sacramento is over. It is now about doing, and that's so exciting.
Well, there are other words to fill into that sentence, wouldn't it be great if, but I just want to hold a moment on the thought about the stadium. What's the timetable for construction and the opening of the stadium?
Well, the stadium is scheduled to be open in early 2022 because our Major League Soccer team, the FC Republic, will open in the rail yards in February of 2022. And so construction will begin sometime over the next couple of months because it is approximately a two-year construction project. But there'll be a lot of fun and excitement and anticipation that we'll be able to engage in together as a community over those 2 years.
If you are going to be mayor at the time of the stadium opening, you will need to be reelected.
Oh, yes.
So what is happening with your reelection plans?
So I haven't made an official announcement yet, but I'm planning to run for reelection. I don't think it's some great secret. I don't know if I'm breaking any news here, but I'm planning to run again. Look, I think it takes more than 4 years to get the job done. I think that I have, along with my colleagues and with a lot of support from the community, really laid a very strong foundation. You know, I always go back to three things. Grow this economy, connect that growth to the neighborhoods and the kids that have been too often left behind. That's inclusivity. That's Measure U. And address affordable housing and homelessness. And Lord knows we have a long way to go on all three. But I think I've laid a very strong foundation. I think the city is moving in the right direction. I think yesterday is maybe the best evidence of that. And I want to continue to serve. I love what I do. It has its moments, but I think I have more to give my city.
That is Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg saying he's going to run for re-election. He's in the studio on this day after Major League Soccer announced that Sacramento will be home to the 29th expansion team. We've used words persistence, passion, hard work, those types of themes. I think they say a lot about your style as a person and as a leader. In all of the successes you were listing, there was a dollar figure, there was funding coming after it. And with talk of re-election, let's think back to 2016 and homelessness and housing being key issues. And are they going to end up being in the category of issues that just can't be solved?
No. No, I think they're in the category of we've laid the right foundation, but we have a lot of work left to do. Look at.
There's a lot of frustration, too.
I know that.
And I think, can I ask whether you were, I don't know, blindly faithful, hopelessly optimistic, if you had rose-colored glasses on when you were campaigning and thought that it would actually be manageable in a different way than it is?
No. My style has always been to set high expectations and then to not accept defeat, and recognizing that if you don't meet your ultimate goal, you get a lot farther than if you just set modest goals. You see, my frustration with homelessness for Sacramento, but also for California, is that we are trying to, quote, manage it. And it's not manageable in a way that that allows it to just be contained. Look what I'm doing now statewide as co-chair of the governor's homeless task force. I'm calling for a legal right to shelter, a legal right to a roof over your head in California. And I've gone a step further and say once that right is implemented, there ought to be an obligation for people to come indoors. fundamentally, we have to acknowledge in this society that we have a tacit public policy that says it's okay for people to live outdoors. We are okay with the status quo. I'm not okay with the status quo, and I don't think the majority of people are either. But until we set a North Star as a state, which says first and foremost we have to bring people under a roof because that's the only way, for example, that people with severe mental illness and substance abuse can get the help that they need to reclaim their lives. Until we change that policy, nothing much is going to change dramatically. At the local level, we are on the way, and it's taking too much damn time, but we are on the way to 600 triage shelter beds. Our plan is to move people through those triage shelter beds with the right kind of case management and services every 4 to 6 months. When we get to 600 beds within the next year, that means we will be able to get 1,200 to 1,800 people off the streets every year. We also have established a housing trust fund now under Measure U, and we're going to fund it at $100 million. And we're going to have an intensive prevention and early intervention strategy to help people avoid homelessness on top of rent stabilization, which we passed and the state passed. And so I am more fierce than ever around my commitment and my belief, not that we can cure this, but that we can make it better. And
let me ask you, though, about the impatience in the way that it was presented to voters and your view of it and what you've learned from being inside of it. I think I'm looking for you to give me more texture to what it really is for you to fight this battle and how you saw it then compared to how you see it now.
I think being mayor, I never thought I would have a harder job in my life than being president pro tem of the Senate during the worst budget crisis in modern state history. I have found this job to be at least equally challenging because my job now is to help lead a city and actually show results on some of these significant problems.
Are there results? Are you seeing results on the homeless issue when some studies come out saying that we have more of a homeless population than was previously known? On top of it, the displacement of a population downtown that was living housed on the edge but now can't afford rent, can't afford parking.
Here's what I have seen. I've seen a 19% increase in homelessness during my term. I've seen an 8% decrease in chronic unsheltered homelessness, a statistic in the point in time count that didn't get a lot of play. I don't see any of it as anything close to victory at this point. But I also believe that if we do not stick with a fundamental direction to say that our first imperative, we have two imperatives, to get as many unsheltered homeless people under a roof as we can and get them the help they need. And secondly, to prevent people who are fragile and housed from becoming fragile and homelessness. On both fronts, we are investing in triage shelter to get hundreds of people off the streets. We're trying to translate into thousands. On preventing people, we have rent control now, rent stabilization, and we have a housing trust fund where we intend to be, now have the ability to be much more aggressive in actually producing more affordable housing. The work has just begun. I'm not discouraged, but I think my experience as mayor over these last couple of years has shown me that these issues are very, very challenging. No surprise.
Quick answers to a few simple things. Is the state law on rent control, a renter's ordinance, going to supersede what Sacramento passed? Does Sacramento's need work right now?
There's some a little bit of a legal disagreement on that question, but we want to take the best of the state law, which extends our rent control ordinance only applies to people living in units that were built in 1995 or before. The states includes pre-1995, but also 1995 through 2004. We want to extend our local ordinance to make sure it includes that scope.
Just, I want to touch on the Creative Edge and Sacramento's arts and culture and economy plan. I know you know that artists felt abandoned at one point along the way with the end of the creative arts grants and then the question about what was going to happen with funding. Will you address that a little bit and talk about the proposed cultural trust fund or
sure.
what's going to happen for this huge community of creative people?
So I think, first of all, I know that there was some doubt, an understandable doubt, especially as the budget debate rolled out post-Measure U. But in the end, I think the arts leadership would say that we actually delivered. We invested millions of dollars, more than we have in a long time, in getting started. So where do we go from here? The next budget year, for example, we have set aside $40 million for what we call inclusive economic development. I intend to propose as mayor that a robust number be put forward to expand the creative economy consistent with the master plan. And here are the two categories I'm most interested in. One is to begin funding a creative economy trust fund, because we've got to build up the resources to be able to draw in more private money, more philanthropic money, and to demonstrate to the arts community, especially those who are saying, is Sacramento serious about this, that we are serious about it.
Is that like a $20 million target?
Over the course of several years, that is a $20 or so million dollar target.
Prop U funds?
Those would be Measure U funds. But again, not all in one year.
And getting back to some sort of grant?
And getting, that's what we did this past year.
Right.
We invested in grant programs.
But with this cultural trust fund.
But the cultural trust fund would be separate.
Okay.
I want to make sure that we've got continuing grants, that we begin building a cultural trust fund. And third, it's not South by Southwest, because we will have our own brand. But I want Sacramento to create the next South by Southwest festival community here in the capital city. Why not? They did it in Austin. We could do it even better over time in Sacramento, and that's going to take some funding. Look at how many people turned out for Aftershock and all the hard rock stuff. That's fine. But what if we did that across the board for other festivals? We can do South by Southwest in the Sacramento way.
All right. The MLS team now has been awarded to the city. We've talked a little bit about the waterfront. I know you have a number of projects on your plate. And as you said, you'll have a reelection campaign. What for you moves now to the top one or two places on your list?
Several things. The waterfront plan is coming forward in November, December with $50 million behind it. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think the other things on the top of my list are Aggie Square, which is our collaborative with UC Davis, the California Mobility Center, our collaborative with SMUD and Sac State, perfecting, if you will, the Affordable Housing Trust Fund, and homelessness. I want to make one. Can I make real quick on affordable housing?
Sure.
I have another idea that I want to put out here that I think is unique, that could change the paradigm. You know, one of the challenges with affordable housing and homelessness is that it is $400,000 to $500,000 public subsidy required for every unit of affordable housing built. We are never going to get to the volume that we need with that kind of subsidy. So here's what I'm proposing. That with the Housing Trust Fund, that 30% of the money, $30 million, be spent on units which require a subsidy of less than $100,000. Tiny homes, efficiency homes, cargo units. We've got to dramatically increase the volume, and we need to create a market by incentivizing the kind of housing that we want.
All right. You always leave us with new ideas and new plans.
Well, you know what? If you're not...
Thank you.
Yes. But continuing to make better the plans I've already started.
On the heels of a big celebration, we had a big conversation. So thank you very much,
Mayor
Steinberg.
I'll come back
soon,
I hope.
All right. That is Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. This conversation will be online at capradio.org/insight, along with much reporting on these issues by our Cap Radio news team. This is Insight on Cap Radio.